the Milwaukee Journal sent the Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Quick intro to today's episode. I did just chat with Tom Hodricourt. We had an extensive discussion about the Brewers roster, Craig Counsell's extension, a few other things. But just as we finished, news broke. Ken Rosenthal reported that the Brewers had signed third baseman Jed Jerko, formerly of the St. Louis Cardinals. He was actually kind of a pretty good player for a few years, 2016, 2017, especially 2018. Has a lot of success against lefties. A possible candidate to play third base. He is apparently getting a major league deal. So we do not mention that on the podcast. We actually talk a lot about third base and obviously don't mention him because in that moment in time, we didn't know that Jed Jerko was going to be part of the picture. So we're still unpacking as we record this what that means. If someone's going to have to get taken off the 40-man roster for starters, given the fact that Rosenthal is reporting that it is a major league deal. So that is a significant development, but still unclear just how... just how much the Brewers are going to hope that they can get out of Jerko, who had a ton of injuries last year, had a back injury and a couple other things going on. So that I'm sure will be a topic of conversation going forward. Bear in mind, his name is not going to come up here in the next few minutes. So sorry about that. But give a listen. Here's my chat with Tom Hodricourt. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Milwaukee Brewers podcast joining you on a day that a lot of Milwaukee people are preparing for a snowstorm, so that's a great time to talk about baseball. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel podcast, and on the other line is the one and only Tom Hodricourt, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel beat reporter for the Milwaukee Brewers. Have you battened down the hatches, Tom? Prepared your dogs for the snowmageddon that is to come here in southern Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I could do without it, and the dogs definitely could. I have dachshunds, so we don't have a lot of clearance from ground to body there, so... I expect some shoveling is in my near future.
I think we're all preparing for shoveling, but also have one eye toward that baseball season. The Brewers announced on Friday that their annual on-deck event has sold out for a second consecutive year. That's coming up at the end of last week of January. So Brewers fans are excited. They're fired up, even though we haven't seen still sort of that big name free agent addition or trade that I know a lot of fans are still dying to see. We'll talk about that in a minute. Since we last podcast, the Brewers have done a number of things. They've added Eric Sogard, Justin Smoak, and most recently on a minor league deal, Logan Morrison on Thursday. I don't know how much we'll be talking about that particular transaction, but they've also... for sure lost some guys that were not offered contracts right away, so we knew that it was unlikely that Jimmy Nelson, Eric Thames, and Travis Shaw would be back in 2020. They now have new destinations, playing for the Dodgers, the Nationals, and the Blue Jays, respectively. So the Brewers know that they for sure have a lot of new names coming in and a lot of people that will be able to talk to it on deck, new faces for this Brewers team. And then there's also news on the managerial front. Craig Counsell signing a three-year extension. He'll be a Brewers manager until 2023, the longest tenured manager in the National League. I still can't wrap my mind around that. I don't know, Tom. I mean, obviously this team could struggle a few years and you could see Craig Counsell no longer being manager. But honestly, like I feel like we're in a situation where Craig Counsell could be manager of this team forever. You know, like he's from Milwaukee, he's a great story, he's had a lot of success early. This seemed like a total no-brainer that they were going to extend him. Was there anything unusual or surprising about that maneuver, or was that just exactly what you thought was going to happen, that the Brewers would extend him into the 2023 season?
Yeah, well, we knew it was going to happen, just a matter of to hear Stearns and Counsell tell it, just a matter of them kind of clearing a couple of days to talk about it. You know, they have been very busy, as you just noted, with lots of player acquisitions and also player defections. There's been a lot of movement on their roster, probably the most since they started their rebuild. That first year that Stearns was general manager, he turned over 20 of the 40 spots on the 40-man roster, which was, you know, pretty amazing. But then, you know, once they got competitive, it had just been minor things. And so... or a few major things, just not as many as we've seen this winter. So it was just a matter of, you know, getting through that and then sitting down and talking. But it's never been any question that Craig Counsell was going to, you know, continue to manage the team. He was down to his last year. You know, we never expected everybody calls that lame duck status. It sort of depends on what's going on with the organization. I think Joe Maddon definitely was lame duck last year with the Cubs, as that turned out to be. But I don't think... even if Craig had gotten to the season with just 1 year left, that we would have considered him lame duck. We would have been surprised I think, if that would have happened. But so now, as you noted, he is the longest tenured manager in the National League. That kind of blows his mind when you tell him that, because 5 years just doesn't seem that long, but it is sometimes in the managerial world. And now, if he sees this extension through to the end, and there's no reason right now to think he wouldn't, he'll be the longest tenured Brewers manager ever. And that would be something. And maybe it was just always destined to be that way with a guy that's from Milwaukee. There's going to be a sad day when he's no longer the manager. No manager gets to manage forever. And eventually, the old saying, you're hired to be fired. That's going to be a tough day in Milwaukee, when, for whatever reason, they part ways with the Milwaukee-born and bred guy. But I think we're a long ways away from having to worry about that.
Yeah, that's true. And I kind of think of Phil Garner as a guy who managed forever, but Council's going to, assuming that they have, standard success next year, this year, and then in the following year, he'll pass Garner for the most wins in franchise history. And like you said, on track to being the longest tenured manager in Brewers history, which yes, very difficult to wrap my head around. Last time we chatted, that was a long time ago. It was, I think, back on December 18th. But I floated the idea that the Brewers might want to sign a guy like Justin Smoke, left-handed bat for their first base opening, a guy that you figure will see his power numbers improve batting at Miller Park and a team that had not, their roster didn't seem to have a lot of left-handed power bats. On it. It was a pretty, sort of a pretty right-handed heavy situation. And then they went out later that day, actually, and didn't sign Smoke then. They signed Eric Sogard. I'm not sure anyone saw that coming. Eric Sogard reuniting with Milwaukee, another middle infielder added to a cadre of middle infielders that the Brewers have right now. Smoke makes a lot of sense. Sogard is more of a, I guess, the surprise of the two, the depth piece, or maybe we do see him starting. Just give me some reaction to when those two guys sign, what you expect for them. Do you think Justin Smoke is the everyday first baseman at this point? Or I guess how do you see it unfolding for those two guys?
I think Justin Smoke will be the everyday third baseman, excuse me, first baseman against the right-handed pitchers, because I think Ryan Braun's going to see a lot of first base against left-handed pitching. And that's sort of what Craig Counsell told us the other day when we were talking to him about his current roster situation. With Avisaíl García now on the team, they have one more outfielder than they have outfield spots. So, one way to do that, Smoke is a switch hitter, but I think you're just going to see him mostly bat left-handed against right-handed pitching. And as you noted, left-handed hitters with pop tend to fare very well in Miller Park, and those are guys that the Brewers have looked for, for many seasons. They lost two good ones after last year in Mike Moustakas and Yasmani Grandal. Grandal, a switch hitter, but very powerful from the left side. So that certainly helps them there. And then, I don't think Eric Sogard is going to be the everyday third baseman, but I think he's going to play some third base. They have three. So Keston Hiura is going to be the second baseman. He's not going to play any shortstop. He's not going to play any third base. He's going to be the second baseman. And I think we can all agree, including Keston, that he needs to work on that position before he worries about playing anywhere else. So that leaves you three players currently on the roster: Luis Urias, who they got from San Diego in a trade early in the offseason, holdover shortstop Orlando Arcia, and now Eric Sogard. It gives you those three guys to right now share second, third, excuse me, shortstop and third base. So if they didn't do anything else, and I think they will, but if they didn't for whatever reason, you would see those three guys split those two positions, in my opinion. And Council said today they're going to give Urias every chance to play shortstop on a regular basis, which is kind of throwing down the gauntlet on Orlando Arcia. If they do sign or trade for a third baseman, and I think they're still looking, then you wonder if Arcia might be moved in some kind of deal. So those are things to keep an eye on. But for now, they at least have coverage across their infield. They did lose some players there. So we'll see how that turns out. David Stearns, I think we can safely say, holds his cards pretty close to the vest. He kind of sews them into the lining of his vest. He doesn't
Yes.
This is just so you don't even get a peek at them. Well, the other day when I asked them on a conference call about the council contract extension, if he expected to be making more moves, his quote was, "I would be surprised if we go to spring training with the group that we have right now." So if you know Stearns and how reserved he is about making comments about possible moves, that's pretty much flying the Goodyear blimp over Miller Park with a big sign saying, "We're going to make more moves."
Yes.
You know, so I asked him with the free agent market being picked over, if it's more likely to make a trade, if he's more likely to make a trade to get what he wants. And he said he thought that was a fair assessment. And you know, if you put one and one together from those two comments, I think we can expect some kind of trade, if not more than one. You know, what the Cardinals did yesterday, where they traded some, you know, veteran outfield pieces for a young pitching prospect, that's the kind of thing that Stearns is always looking to do, you know, make a trade that's going to help him, for especially over the long haul. So let's see what happens. I don't think they're going to trade for Nolan Arenado. No, a lot of people would like them to. I'm not even sure how smart that would be with a guy that has an opt-out in 2 years. But I do think I still got to believe he's looking to get a more, you know, some more established player at third base. And then he's always looking to add to his pitching. And so I think he'll do that too. And let's remember that he's done some of his best work from middle January to middle February, the final month of the off season, and that's kind of where we're heading now into the final month. And that's where he's done a little. You go look at JR, his history of trading. You'll see a ton of trades between January 15th and February 15th.
Yeah, I think that the frustrating thing about being a Brewers fan is David Stearns, like you said, does give you very little indication what's going to happen. You think back to that, of course, that day a couple years ago in January where Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain were acquired on the same day. No one saw that coming. So there are massive openings that seem like they're never going to get filled because all these other player moves are going on around you and you see nothing for the Brewers, and all of a sudden he comes through with a big move. And like you said with third base, it seems so unlikely that Eric Sogard and Ryan Healy and Luis Urias that's going to be your third base unit going into the season. But at the same time, there isn't a clear path toward where that third baseman is going to come from. Josh Donaldson is the big free agent ticket still out there. He's been linked to several teams, none of them the Brewers. I think it's interesting that he hasn't signed yet, that maybe his demands have been too high. Maybe he comes down a little bit and more teams enter the picture. But I think at this point, Brewers fans are really just wishing on a star if they think Josh Donaldson is going to wind up in Milwaukee. So you look at the other third baseman available, and no one's going to move the needle there. No one is going to be someone you'd think the Brewers would be definitely all in on. So I got to wonder, Tom, is a trade the only way that they're going to be able to address that opening to start the season?
Yeah, I mean, the only guy that's even semi-intriguing left on the free agent market is Todd Frazier. And I still think he has some game left, but I don't think you would want him to be your everyday third baseman. You know, I think he would be a guy, if you said, maybe you would play, you would split time with him and Sogard, you know, because then you would have a right hand here if you were to do that. So after that, I mean, the third base market is barren as far as free agents go. I think the reason Josh Donaldson hasn't signed is because he doesn't have to. He's the only guy out there, and he's making people bid against themselves, and I think they have figured that out and don't want to bid against themselves. So at some point, you know, he's going to have to say yes to somebody. I'm guessing it's going to be Atlanta, but we'll see. Washington sure made it look like they don't expect to get him because they've been signing all kinds of infielders, including Eric Thames and Starlin Castro and on and on. So they look like they're not expected to get him. The Twins are supposedly in there. There could always be a mystery team. I don't think it would be the Brewers. You know, signing a 34-year-old third baseman for four more years at 25 mil per doesn't really fit the Brewers profile. And so, I think we'll see, you know, maybe they'll try to swing a trade where they get the third baseman and some pitching help in a big deal, you know, all together. So, you know, Ryan Healy is a true wild card in that because he's coming off hip surgery. They signed him out of Seattle. He's played first base and third base in the minor leagues, but you can't count on him until you see him play and see that he's healthy. That sounds more to me like a guy that they'll let get his legs under him in the minors and then maybe call him up during the season. So I still think there's work to be done. I still think we'll see a third base type be acquired in some fashion. I still think you'll see a pitcher or two be added. So there's every indication that we should expect some more activity between now and the beginning of camp, which is just a month away now. It's hard to believe, but we're, coming up on the 1 month mark to spring training now.
Yeah, and another reason to expect that there will be some more maneuvering is just looking at their payroll. There's been a lot of discussion that the Brewers were potentially looking at shaving payroll. I don't know if we've heard that officially from any, official source. That's, I think, just people speculating for the most part, but it's not hard to notice that where they're at right now with their payroll is markedly lower than where they were at the end of last year. And of course that makes sense. There's more guys to sign, there's,
Right.
arbitration deals to figure in. They don't have right now guys like Grandal and Moustakas that were signed at, late in the offseason last year. So it makes sense that that number, of course, is going to go up, but the disparity between the two numbers is pretty striking right now, and we've talked about how this team is going to still be in win mode as long as Christian Yelich is on the roster and in his prime, but without a clear free agent that they're obviously going to bring in, there isn't, like you said, there aren't many obvious guys out there. They're not going to get back to that number, or at least it doesn't seem like they are. Does the disparity surprise you? I know you said that this team is just making financially sound decisions player by player, and they're not looking at it as an overall number. And I could certainly understand that, but when the numbers are that different, when you're seeing a team that's right now well under 100 million payroll with only a month of offseason left, basically, does that difference come as a surprise to you that maybe the Brewers are being more financially sensible than even you expected?
Well, let's wait and see where it is when they start the season. They're around 85 million now, which is 40 million less than where they opened last year, which was their all-time high. And it seems like they're not that they're trying to start the season at a little bit lower figure this time around. But if it stays that far low, then they have some explaining to do, and their fans are going to want some answers as to why they cut the payroll by 30%. So they'll definitely have to address that, but I want to just wait and see where this lands. They were about at this number at this time last year. Then they added 18 million with Grandal and 10 million with Moustakas, and all of a sudden there was 28 million added with two guys. Now that I don't see an $18 million free agent still out there, unless somebody didn't sign that we don't know about, from another country or something. So let's just see where it is. Now they've definitely created some payroll flexibility, and I gotta believe they've done that, with the intention of knowing at some point they're going to use some of it. So, you can always pick up contracts and trades. It doesn't have to be just free agent signings. You can trade prospects slash lower level minor leaguers for experienced major leaguers that come with big contracts. I do think that it's Stearns's modus operandi as far as trades to try to always trade for guys that he can control for a while. I'd be surprised if he traded for a guy that was going to be a free that has a big salary that's going to be a free agent at the end of the year and gave up a whole lot, unless the other team was salary dumping. So let's just wait and see. He's done a lot of stuff, as I just noted, in the final month of the offseason, time after time after time. So I'm going to withhold judgment, and I'll just say this again and leave it at that. If this is where they stay, entering the season payroll rise, then I think they're going to have to answer some questions about it. So let's just see what happens.
So we mentioned at the outset guys that were non-tendered who are now officially elsewhere. Travis Shaw's in Toronto, Jimmy Nelson's in L.A., Eric Thames in Washington. I'll ask primarily about Thames because I guess it felt less likely to me that Nelson or Shaw would be back, but I still thought maybe there was a chance before they signed Justin Smoke that Eric Thames would be coming back on maybe a lower deal. He's such an interesting case. The the value that David Stearns got out of that contract is pretty significant, signing him to a 3-year deal out of Korea. He hit this past year, actually, he hits a home run in the wild card game in Washington, and now he's going to be playing in that stadium full time. And I think, if I recall, he hit the decisive home run in the 15-14 game in Washington during the season. So he definitely has some success in that park. He's a very popular guy, and I guess when you see what he signed for, how inexpensive he was, it does surprise me that he'd be valued that low. That even though he's a first baseman and fairly limited on the defensive spectrum, that power and you know, he's okay defensively, that wouldn't garner more, you know, more financial attention, that he wouldn't be a guy signing for a bigger deal. What did you think of that, him going to Washington and signing for just a couple million?
Well, it sounds like the Brewers correctly gauged his market, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
You know, if he would have signed a 5-year deal for, you know, $80 million, then you would have said, boy, the Brewers sure miscalculated his worth. But it sounds like they calculated his worth exactly as the rest of the industry did. And, you know, and he's going to be in a platoon situation there in Washington with Howie Kendrick at first base. And so that was the best he was ever going to do with the Brewers, too, is be in a platoon situation. You know, they, in my opinion, they basically think they got a little bit better with Justin Smoke, especially defensively, for a lot less money. So I just think that's the way they looked at it. And I think they knew all, you know, once they got Abascal Garcia, Ryan Braun was going to be an outfielder / first baseman.
Sure.
You know, once that happened, because those four guys, Braun, Garcia, Yelich, and Kane, one of them is not going to play in 50 games. You know, all of them are going to see regular or semi-regular action. Well, Yelich is going to see regular action. And then it's pretty much, I think they do have some coverage now with Kane in center. I think at his age, they want to back him off playing time a little bit. Obviously, Braun. You know, you go back and look at how productive Braun was when he did play last year. And you have to say Craig Counsell figured out exactly how to use him. You know it? I mean, he was very productive for the time he played, but he's no longer a 150-game player. So it's going to be really interesting just to see how that parcels out. When they got Kane and Yelich, we said, how are they going to play all these outfielders? Well, they figured it out. And I've yet to see a manager step forward and say, would you stop giving me so many players? You know, I just stop doing it. I don't want all these players. The next manager who steps forward and says anything like that should be fired within about 30 seconds.
So the Brewers will, as we mentioned, a lot of the guys will be back in town January 26th for the On Deck event in Milwaukee. The Brewers have done a really good job of getting a high volume of players to attend that event the last several years, including some minor leaguers and including some new guys that were just signed in recent days, as was the case last year when Grandal and Moustakas were there. Who are you really interested to see at this event? Like, there's so many new guys. I mean, we could go back to Omar Narvaez or Josh Lindblom, Brett Anderson. There's so many new faces to talk to. Who are the one or two guys that you really are curious to get to know and have questions for that you're hoping will be in attendance at that event?
Yeah, I don't know about get to know, because we've got to talk to a lot of the players that they've signed in telephone interviews or in person with Josh Lindblom. So, I think there's, you know, I think it'd be interesting just to go over the roster in general without worrying about whether they're new or old players. You know, it's going to be interesting to talk to Christian Yelich about his knee and see if it's 100%. And if he expects any limitations at all. Same thing with Corey Knebel and his elbow. Where he thinks he might be able to start the season. Narvaez is going to be a guy we're going to want to talk to a lot about his defense, because he has had challenges there, and just see what he thinks might happen with him in spring training as far as his defensive work. You know, Urias is a very fascinating guy. We'll see what he has to say about giving a shot, a chance to be a shortstop, because he was basically considered a second baseman in San Diego. You got some new pitchers to talk to. You know, a guy that I think is a guy to watch. We always kind of pick out guys to watch. I think, unless I misread some of the things I was seeing in the last 6 weeks of last season, Adrian Hauser to me is a guy in position to take the next step, you know? And so I think that he has a chance. I don't know if he can be as good as Woodruff, but I think he could be close. And so, you know, people always say, oh, the Brewers need more pitching, the Brewers need more pitching. Well, they've always thought more of their own pitching than the outside world has. You know, Brent Suter's another guy, you know, whether he thinks he's going to be a reliever or a starter and just how he fits in. He just exceeded all expectations coming back from Tommy John surgery. Plus, your day's always better by talking to Brent Suter. You know,
Yes.
so if you're having a bad day, go talk to Brent Suter. He'll make it a better day. He's just such a great guy to talk to. So there are a lot of new faces, you know, and so it's going. I want to talk to Jacob Cruz, the new assistant hitting coach. You know, he has a past relationship with Annie Haines. They're excited about working together again. So there are some guys both on the coaching staff and player personnel that are going to be fun to talk to, and let's see what prospects they bring in too. You know, so they usually bring in a nice handful there too. Keston Hira will be an interesting guy to talk to about, you know, where he thinks his ceiling is defensively. You know, he got rushed to the big leagues without playing a whole lot in the field because of his elbow, but now he's going to have to play better in the field. You know, you can't. As great an offensive player as he is, you need to work better on more on your run prevention, and I think he will. So, it's going to be an interesting. It's always interesting to get those guys together. You know, I've been covering the team so long. I go back to the days where they would put them on a bus and drive them all over Wisconsin on snowy roads. And made everybody a little nervous about that. But and so I do think they really hit on something a few years ago when they brought all these guys in. And they told them, if you come, it's just one day and you're back out. And they do get better participation that way, you know, assuming it's not, it's a good thing this isn't on deck weekend from what we're hearing about the oncoming weather. Guys might have trouble getting in and out. And that's always a risk, you know, with a January 26th date in Milwaukee. But at least it beats putting them on a bus and taking them all the way out to Rice Lake and wondering if the road conditions are going to allow a safe journey.
That is true. Last year it was incredibly cold the weekend of that event, but like you said, it was just a short-term thing. And I bet you Brent Suter would get on a bus and go all over Wisconsin. That's a guy who would eat that up, I have a feeling. So
He would drive the bus.
he sure would. He's a Midwest guy anyway, so
But you don't get on if you don't have a personal water bottle. Do not be bringing, you know, a disposable plastic bottle on board on his bus. You will not be given a seat.
that's true, and no straws. No straws anywhere to
No
be found.
straw.
Yeah, so I'll wrap it up with another question about kind of off the beaten path, and that's about the Chicago Cubs. When we hear any team say we don't have money or we're not going to be very active in free agency or we're you never take that at full face value. You always assume that teams are working behind the scenes to make something happen. And
Right.
the Cubs have been a thorn in the side for the Brewers in recent years, even though the Brewers have gotten the best of them the last 2 years, finished technically ahead of them 2 years ago in the standings when they won the tiebreaker game, and officially ahead of them last year in the standings. But this team has done nothing. They just almost literally nothing to improve their roster. They've got kind of a decision coming on Chris Bryant, whether they want to trade him or not. I mean, they really do see. I mean, they're a big market team. I can't imagine. I'm not intimately aware of the financial gymnastics going on, but it stuns me that the Cubs have done next to nothing. And you've seen the Reds be aggressive. The Cardinals have made some moves, but Chicago, seemingly a team that should be still in contention for this NL Central, appears to be just a bystander. What do you make of that? What's going on there, do you think?
And doesn't it seem like the White Sox took notice and jumped into the breach, you know?
Absolutely. They're in great shape. 2 years from now, that White Sox team might be very special.
So it's like they've sensed, you know, they've been the poor stepchild to the Cubs for so long, and it's like they've sensed an opening, and they've probably been the most active team in the major leagues, and they definitely look like the most improved team. It looks like they're trying to not be the second team in the second city, right? So, but yeah, the Cubs, you know, I gotta believe this last month is going to be an active one for them because it's not like that administration to sit on their hands all winter. I do think the Chris Bryant thing has paralyzed them a little bit because I think they need to know if they're going to trade him as to what they do with some of their other parts on their roster. I do, sometimes one thing like that can paralyze you, and they're waiting, for this arbitrator to rule whether he's going to have, because, for those who don't know, he was one of those guys that they held back the first year before they called him up, and it gave him an extra year of service time to control him. It's a ploy we see done all the time with top prospects, but he grieved it, and his agency grieved it and said that they thought he should be given credit for more service time and therefore only have 1 year left before free agency. So that makes all the difference in the world in trying to trade a guy when you can tell the other team that he has 1 or 2 years left. They're going to want the 2 years. So it does seem like they've been paralyzed by that. And I don't know what's taken so long on that decision. I think they've been waiting for it for some time now. But that just seems to have them paralyzed. But they did change managers. Went from Joe Madden to David Ross. So I just it's hard to believe that that's where they're going to draw the line and just make a managerial change and come back with the same team. So the other thing that we always forget, JR, is you don't have to have your team in mid-February. You have to have your team on March 26th. And that's who the Brewers play on March 26th,
Oh,
by
I
the
know.
way,
That's going to be a
is the
wild.
Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, that's going to be a wild start to the season. We've never seen that before. Chicago Cubs in Milwaukee on opening day. That's going to be a tough one. There's going to be a lot of drama that day.
Yeah, probably. Truth be told, I don't think the Brewers are that excited about it, but that's what the schedule is, so they'll be there. They'll be there to play. But it's so let's remember this conversation on what's today, January 10th. So let's see if we can remember this conversation when you and me are sitting in the press box on March 26th, and let's look and see how many different players both teams have that day than they had on this day, January 10th.
Right. He is Tom Haudricourt, Milwaukee Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Check out all of his stories. Plenty to talk about in the offseason as well. That's at jsonline.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Haudricourt, HaudriCourt. Tom, thanks for joining us. We will chat with you again very soon.
Thanks, JR.